you have different types of audiences on different platforms. And I think it's really important to figure out who your audience is and where they are.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Hey there, it's Tracy Matthews of the Thrive by Design podcast and Flourish and Thrive Academy. And thank you so much for joining me today for episode number 31. Today I'm super excited. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for showing up. And the reason why I'm excited is because I love talking about changes in the jewelry industry. And today I have a very special guest who's here to talk about jewelry publicity trends that are working right now. So I'm thrilled to be introducing Olga Gonzalez. So a little background, Olga and I met about a year ago at the Women's Jewelry Association when I joined. And I've gotten to know Olga a little bit more over the last year or so, and she's really involved, particularly in the jewelry and gemstone world. So Olga, thank you so much for joining us today. I am just thrilled to have you here.
Thank you, Tracy. It's my pleasure. I'm excited.
Yay. So I'm going to just introduce the audience to you with a bio so they get to know you a little bit better and they can go check out your website and stuff.
Okay.
The CEO and founder of Pietra PR, Olga Gonzalez, has over 10 years of experience working within the field of jewelry communications. A certified gemologist, FDA, DGA, and appraiser, she specializes in growing mid-sized companies within the jewelry trade, from designer jewelry brands and manufacturers to trade nonprofits and diamond grading laboratories. She currently serves as the director of PR for the Women's Jewelry Association, New York Metro Chapter Board, the USA ambassador for the Gemological Association of Great Britain, and is a regular contributor to trade and consumer publications on gem and jewelry-related topics. Wow, you have a crazy impressive resume.
It sounds good on paper. It's
super cool.
I just
cool.
do what I like to do. It's just, I just like gemstones.
So do I. I love jewelry and gemstones. Perfect. So before we dive into some of the questions I have for you, I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about your background and your business.
Sure. So I've been, I've been doing this for about 10 years, jewelry marketing, PR, you know, communications events. I didn't really come into the business via your usual route. I didn't have a family member that was in the trade, which is very common in the jewelry trade, nor did I go to business school for marketing and PR. As you can kind of hear from my background, I actually came via the art connoisseurship route. So my first real job in the trade, I would say, was as an exhibition assistant at Christie's, the auction house in New York. And then I was inspired to do my master's degree at Christie's in London. And when I was there, I worked at the Goldsmiths Company, which is where they assay gold and silver, and they have an incredible contemporary jewelry collection, which I fell in love with. And I also got an offer to run the membership for the Gemological Association while I was doing my master's degree. So I did that, and then that sort of turned into becoming their marketing and events manager for the association. And that was really where I was able to meet a lot of people in the trade, do a lot of events, large-scale branding, you know, working full-time for a trade association. And I absolutely loved it. I did my degree there. I was excited to actually get my gemology degree in the evenings. So it was, that was really my entrance into that side of the business. My company I started 3.5 years ago. So that really happened because I came to New York and I was working full-time for different companies in the jewelry trade. And I had people who knew me from when I was working at Gem A and from other work that I had done who wanted me to do, you know, like jewelry designers who wanted to grow their businesses, do a press release here on the side, get some promotion. So I started working with a bunch of other smaller businesses who wanted to grow their business outside of work, you know, and building their businesses. And to be honest with you, I just didn't have a social life because it's kind of a lot of work to just have, you know, a full-time gig and lots of other part-time stuff. So the designers that I worked with, they actually encouraged me to start my own business. So I have to actually thank them for being the impetus to get me started into starting my own thing. But yeah, so I started my own company, Pietra PR, 3.5 years ago. Haven't looked back, and absolutely love it.
That's so awesome. Well, I just love hearing about your background because we were talking the other night and, you know, it's cool that you like actually went to school for gemology and you know so much about gemstones and you're working in, not just working in PR, but you have your own business in PR, like really representing jewelry companies. It's just an interesting way to come at it, which I love. So there's so much competition in the jewelry industry. As you know, from being in PR and working, starting with smaller brands and then sort of now working with medium-sized companies. Why is publicity and PR, in your opinion, so important to standing out as a brand?
Honestly, I mean, when people ask me whether or not PR is important, it's a must-have. It's like they don't understand why, and I wouldn't understand why someone wouldn't want PR.
I know, right?
It's really about telling your story. I really see PR as being about storytelling. I mean, that's really the job of a PR professional, is to take your client's story and make sure that everybody knows it and make it relevant and find the audience for them. And if you don't have someone doing that for you, it's tough, especially, you know, if you're an emerging designer. You have so much going on. You're making your jewelry. You're coming up with designs and figuring out how to sell it. And sometimes you may need guidance on perfecting that story and to get it out there, because no one can be everything to everyone, you know. So it's really, really important to stand out in that way. People just relate to people's stories, especially if you're a millennial or, you know, the generation coming up before then. It's not about the mass market. It's about feeling a personal connection to a brand.
It's all about personal connection. I'm so glad that you said that, because it's such an important thing and a key thing for designers to remember. And the other thing that really stood out for me about what you said is that, you know, you can't be everything to everyone, and you really can. And it's just finding your people. And you could do that by communicating your story. Awesome.
Exactly. So you got it. You got the PR thing down.
So when I had my wholesale business, we did a lot our PR in-house for most of the time. And we found that we had the best success with that, having like a dedicated team doing PR in-house. Mm-hmm. But I know over the last 5 years, PR has changed and publicity has changed. And, you know, sort of the landscape of the industry has changed so much. So it used to be that we would focus only on print magazines for exposure, but now there's so many options. So what are some of the most current trends in the jewelry industry that you've seen that are working really well? Because I know the jewelry industry sort of adopts things in a different timeline than other industries.
They do. I mean, I would never downplay print, because print is very important and it certainly has its place. And I do think it will always have its place. But to be honest, I think obviously online is a huge thing. I mean, it's where people spend their time. It's where people read their news. It's where people watch their entertainment. I see little kids, they don't watch TV. They're watching YouTube, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's
exactly.
Yeah, it's super important. And I think that that's really where, like, one main area where PR is really reaching out to. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you didn't do PR online. That wasn't a thing, obviously. And now there are so many different kinds of social media. I mean, there's LinkedIn, there's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I mean, you have different types of audiences on different platforms. And I think it's really important to figure out who your audience is and where they are. You don't need to be on everything, but you should at least be on one or two things and really be active. It's better than being active on a couple of sites than being inactive across lots of different sites. But it's important to have your story. You know, I think it's great to keep a blog on your website, keep the content fresh. That's also great for search engine optimization, as well as having, you know, a Google Plus page. I mean, we really focus on editorial at our agency, trying to get natural editorials across the web and print for our audiences. I mean, that's really what we do best. But yeah, I think that's, I mean, and the other thing is really just focusing on leveraging publicity at home, you know, mm-hmm. like actually being known locally, being known and participating in lots of activities in your area, maybe with local stores, your local school. I think that's also really important for PRs, to have sort of that word of mouth going on where people are talking about you, that know you personally, because that's sort of a really great way to get an organic reach as well.
I love that. Yeah, start local. I feel like everything should start local. It's like we're all buying local produce now. Like we should all buy local designers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Start local. Network in your community. You know, I was at a networking event last night, actually as a book opening for an entrepreneur. And, you know, I hadn't been to one in a while because I've been like, you know, doing sort of my own thing. And I was re-reminded, I mean, I went to the WJA event this week too, of how important it is to get yourself in front of people, even though you're not sure exactly what, you know, it might not seem like, oh, they're going to be directly your customers, but you just never know what could come out of it. You know, I was talking with a guy last night who is thinking about proposing to his girlfriend. And, you know, it's like, there's, you know, we're going to talk later, but, you know, that there's an opportunity right there for, you know, me to potentially design an engagement ring. So you just never know. You might go to, you know, a WJA event in your local chapter, or you might go to some sort of event where you meet someone who can connect you to someone else who can give you exposure for your brand. So I loved what you said about starting local. I wanted to come back to something you said about editorial. Can you give some examples of what you've done for your clients to sort of, and I'm going to get, I can't remember exactly how you phrased it, editorial content out there? What did you say? Do you remember?
Oh, well, we do. Our focus is really on editorial. So
yes,
it's basically having editors write about your brand in a natural way, not an advertising sort of placement,
yes,
but actually getting them excited about the brands and your clients and having them naturally want to write about them. So, I mean, that has a lot to do with relationships, both trade and consumer, mm-hmm, but making sure you're on top of the trends and the topics and you always have something to contribute, that they know who your designers are, that they're seeing their work regularly, and that, you know, we'll come up with ideas for articles all the time, like things that are relevant to a certain website, and just say, you know, like, what about this pitch? Like, do you like this article? We can write it for you if you want, you know, if your editors want to write it, if you want a quote for it, like, here are some things that we think that you would love to learn, you know, your audience would love to hear about. So that way it makes the editors' lives easier too, because they may not have thought of certain angles. Like, I was talking to one magazine, you know, locally about, but what about an article about ways to teach your kids about gemology in New York, you know?
That's a great article.
You know, things like that, you know, things like that, like just sort of things that are a little outside the box that you may not think about, but that could be interesting, you know, like for these sorts of sites where people are trying to find out, you know, find new ideas for things to do with their kids. That's something that they might want to read about, you know, stuff like that.
And it's a different way to get exposure, because I think when a lot of people think about PR and press, they don't necessarily think of it from an editorial standpoint. They think about it from a pictorial standpoint, like, oh, is Lucky Magazine going to cover my piece of jewelry, or am I going to get, you know, featured in a JCK print article about upcoming trends or something like that? You know, I love that this idea of, you know, pitching stories, because that gets people to actually really connect with who you are. And it ties it all back to what we were talking about in the beginning about really leveraging your story, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that. What are the most effective ways for a jewelry brand to leverage publicity, in your opinion? You know, like once they get it, like how can they share it and really make the most of it?
Yeah, it's definitely important to keep track of it. And like you said, you have to share it everywhere. Put it on your website, your blog, on your social media. Keep a portfolio. Make sure that you're showing it to clients, that you're showing it to prospective clients. But I think the most important thing is really to make sure that you have as broad a reach as possible. So if you're working with someone, let's say you're partnering with a blogger, or you're doing a contest or something like that, ask people to promote you, ask them to retweet it, ask them to share it with their friends, to share it on their social media, to talk about it in their next upcoming editorials. Because to have successful PR, I mean, you really want to just make that reach as large as you can. And if you can reach outside of your own personal network and have other people reach out to their networks, that's really the way that you're going to get it to grow. So I think that's what you should do.
Yeah. Leveraging people upon people in every single way that you possibly can. So how long would you share it for? Like, let's say you got some press in, I don't know, December. Like, would you continue to share it like ongoing, or would you only share it for like a little while, or?
No, it would be short. I mean, technically, for example, if you're doing like a press release, the news cycle is traditionally 28 days. So that mm-hmm. would be like the max that you would ever share or track anything. Let's say if it were like a press release, for example, mm-hmm. that's the most that you would track, you know, your analytics for. But in order to be relevant, I mean, I personally feel that you know, I don't usually do beyond more than a week of sharing of the same sort of content. I feel like if it's hot, you've got to just promote it as quickly as possible. It's super time sensitive, and I really will try to do as much work as I possibly can within the first 24 hours. I think if you can do as much sharing as possible the same day, that's exciting to people because people want something that's new news, mm-hmm. you know. They don't want to be talking about something really that's happened months ago or this design's outdated. Not outdated, but it's, you know, it's already been done. It's already been written about somewhere else.
Awesome. Yeah. So I want to come back to one thing you said too about press releases. Now there, we have different experts who come in and talk about PR and, you know, there's always this controversy about the press release, like how and when to use it. So in your opinion, like, or how are you leveraging and using and writing press releases, to the best benefit? And like, when should it be used as opposed to just a pitch to an editor?
Press releases are really, I mean, I think that they're super important. I'm on the, but I don't think you should use it as a crutch. I don't think you should only count on sending out a press release or putting something out on Newswire and letting it just kind of run on its own. I think it's important to put things out on Newswire, to be honest, more for the visibility of the brand mm-hmm. because it will automatically be picked up by lots of different news sites. In addition to sending out a press release, any release that we send out, in addition to putting it on the wire, we individually send out to all of the editors that we would want to target. And if we have specific angles, we follow up. We make sure we make those calls. You know, we want it to be as personal as possible, especially with the people that we work with regularly. So I do think it's important. I do think it's good for making your client's site more searchable. It's good for making, you know, it's good for getting as broad a reach as possible, but it's really just one of many, many tools that you should be utilizing. It shouldn't be the only thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that because I think that's an important thing, like how to use a press release, because I know sometimes people use it incorrectly and I'm appreciative that you shared that with us. So what's one thing that you would love for emerging designers to know about building a name brand for themselves, especially in relation to PR, if there was just one thing, or if there's more things, you can share that too.
You know what? The one thing I would say that it's actually seems like the easiest thing, but it's the hardest thing when I sit down with a designer to talk about PR or branding or any of that. I think the most important thing before you even think about doing social media or PR, marketing, logos, anything, is to really just know your vision and be 100% clear about it before you do anything else. And that's very difficult for a lot of people to do. A lot of designers that I've known throughout the years, they have all of this incredible talent and they just want to explore it and they want to make, you know, jewelry that looks very different. You know, it's not necessarily super cohesive with one aesthetic, with one, you know, I ask them like, well, what is your angle? What are you about? How is it going to be different from everyone else? Like you can't just do, for example, nature inspired jewelry. Like, are you going to be the opal lady? Is everything you're going to do have like, you know, Lightning Ridge black opals in it? Are you a Mason? Do you love making Masonic jewelry? Like, I think you kind of have to pick, you have to pick your angle, because otherwise you're going to be too broad for people to relate to or to be excited about your story. And also, you know, you got to think about things like your, you know, people don't think about necessarily about their, you know, colors. Like, what are your favorite colors? What are your favorite fonts? Because at the end of the day, your branding has to be totally consistent across your advertising, your website, your business cards, all your promotional materials. So it's important to look at those little things too, you know, and you have to sort of set all of that aside and know what the plan is before you do anything. Because once you start promoting yourself, everything has to be consistent. You know, it's got to go with the vision and go with the look. So yeah, I would say that knowing your vision and really understanding it and being clear about it would be the most important thing before, you know, when you're starting to build a brand, because everything's really going to come from that.
Over at Flourish and Thrive Academy, we like to call all of the leaders of their companies chief visionary officers. So I love that you brought that up because understanding your vision is so important to running a successful jewelry brand. I mean, you just really have to know where you're going. And if you don't, you know, it's really wishy-washy and it's hard to really stand out in the sea of millions because there are so many talented designers out there. You have to do something to make yourself stand out. So I love that.
It's very true.
Well, Olga, this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for being here today. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me. I love Flourish and Thrive Academy, and it's totally my pleasure to be on the, you know, on the line with you talking about this. I thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. So before we wrap up, I would love for you to tell us where we can find you.
So our website, you can check it out online at www.pietrapr.com. And there you'll find links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our Google Plus page as well. And if you want to get to know me personally, Olga Gonzalez with 2 Z's NYC is my Instagram and my Twitter. So you can come follow me and talk to me there as well.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for listening to the Thrive by Design podcast today. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to do us a huge favor. Make sure you subscribe to our show, rate the show, and write us a little review, especially if you liked it. This really helps us improve the show and let us know what you love about the show. We'd love to hear from you. And to get the full show notes, you can join us over at flourishthriveacademy.com/episode31. Check out, we'll have links to Olga's website and more information to help you with your PR efforts. Thanks so much for joining us today, and take care until next time.